It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's what's wrong with your generation.
Oh.
Now, no, sorry. That was a Simpsons reference, I think. Has it been a week, people?
For them it has.
Welcome back. A week. For us, it's been
10 or 15 minutes.
Something like that. Two Bob Mortimer stories.
Pretty good.
Both of which turned out to be true. Yeah, I always put up on the second episode, I put what video we watched, and I will do that. It's going to be weird, though, because it's like a long video of which we just watched the beginning parts.
Right.
So you'll have to live with that. The wind is really picking up out there.
Yep.
Sounds like ghosts and shit.
Ghosts, huh? I guess.
Okay, I need to abstract this as best as I can.
Okay.
I was in a circumstance where I was dealing with someone in a service profession, and I was the customer.
All right.
And we were making small talk.
Sure.
And I forget what came up about it. Oh, I think it was, we were talking about TV shows and movies and things. And I think Haunting of Hill House came up.
Oh, okay.
And just in general, scary stuff, and how when I was little I couldn't cope with it, and nowadays I'm fine with it. And I'm like, and I said something about, like, you know, because I just know it's all fake, and that helps when I was little. And they said to me, well, you know, some supernatural stuff is true. And I said, what? And they said, I mean, some supernatural stuff is true.
You said what?
I did, because...
Why did you say what? I mean... Sorry, I'm asking that because it's like...
No,
person says something like that, I don't think you really want to say what.
They said some supernatural stuff is true. I said what? They said some supernatural stuff is true.
Again.
At that point, I absolutely regretted having said what.
Okay, well, good.
Don't get me wrong.
All right.
But
we're on the same page.
By the same token, when somebody says to you, I used to be scared of that stuff, but now I'm not, since I know it's all not true.
Oh, but it is
who's
true.
Who's like, well, some...
You should be scared of those things.
And I didn't ask them to elaborate. And the problem is, this is somebody for whom I'm a this is somebody I know in the sense that I'm a regular customer.
Sure.
So that's weird. But I did find common ground in the last second.
Okay.
Because, and this is, I always find this interesting. Nobody else does. It's probably not. But when I'm little and I'm scared of shit, mm-hmm. and I'm scared of scary shit, and I can't watch horror movies and stuff like that, but I kind of get into hearing the stories about them. And like,
oh, yeah, me too. You could see me too.
Like, they tell me about the horror movies, like, and I'm like, that story's interesting.
If I were in this situation, they said there's still some stuff that's true, I'd be like, oh, yeah, like, tell me,
like horror movies, I couldn't watch them, and I wouldn't try to watch them, because I was terrified. But my friend told me, like, the plot of Friday the 13th, and I thought it was a really cool story.
Oh, okay.
I still wouldn't watch that movie, because I'd be scared. But the story was cool, but still kind of freaked me out. And there was a point where somebody told me about Nightmare on Elm Street, and I thought it was a really good story. But for a little while, I was freaked out about that.
Mm.
And I would frequently, when I was a kid, and even when I was like an adolescent, be scared if I'm like in a dark situation, something's right behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of stuff still came to me. But there was a time period where for a while, I was really freaked out about Freddy Krueger.
Mm.
And one of my first steps to getting over this kind of thing was one night I was like, because there's also this thing of, I know enough about horror movies and things like that I don't want to deny the existence of the supernatural, because that's when they get you. You know, it's the
right,
one who's like, there's no such thing as ghosts. Ghosts going to eat you.
Yeah. Right.
So I didn't want to do that. But one time I was like, you know what? Freddy Krueger's fake.
Okay.
Like, which is true. I can say that. Then that's the thing. Yeah. I was like, you know, I'm not going around saying ghosts aren't real and shit like
just,
that.
Just Freddy Krueger.
But Freddy Krueger is definitely
someone
fake.
Made that guy up.
And for a little while, that made me feel better. And so that was good. In what I think is a twist, this was before Clive Barker's New Nightmare came out, or Wes Craven's New Nightmare, which is the movie in the Nightmare on Elm Street series that is about the real world and the making of those films. Hmm. And something comes... I haven't seen that one, but basically he's real inside the movie. Because so like Robert Englund just plays himself and Heather Langenkamp plays that. And it's supposed to be like the filming of the original one, but then it turns out there really is a thing. And so like if I'd known that, I would be like, well, fuck, no, I'm screwed now. But at the time, there were only like 5 Nightmare movies. So yeah, that was a big
I am intrigued now what this person thinks is real and what experience they had to make them think so.
I am not.
Oh, okay.
Because I have to talk to those people again.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
And that's weird. It just, it just caught me. Not even the, like, I am not surprised by the idea that some people believe.
Believe it, sure.
And it wasn't, I didn't mean, what, are you an idiot? I mean, I feel like that's, no, okay, I shouldn't say it. But at the time, it was the, I must have misheard.
That's hilarious.
Because I'm not, again, I'm not surprised that people believe that. What? I'm surprised that at that point in a conversation with a client, you whip that out.
That is pretty funny.
And it's also, it's almost not germane.
Well, sure.
Because it's like, okay, but the stuff in that TV show's not, right? So I can still choose not to be scared of that TV show.
there's a Netflix, well, there was. I don't know if it's still there. It's a a Netflix program. It's got like 4 different people talking about their personal experiences with a haunting.
Oh, no. Yeah, I've seen that on some basic cable and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, it's really
They have a celebrity version of that, too.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Famous people talk about their experience.
Well, I mean, it's just as... what this is it's just... It's all take... Each story takes place in the same place in a studio, and the person is telling some of their family members and friends this story, like, say, for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's no... There's nothing else to it. There's some dramatizations, I guess,
yeah,
while they're telling the story. But as far as the person's concerned, they're in this room with their family, and you see them talking, and sometimes they'll put the camera on their mom or whoever's hearing this for the first time. And some of these stories are really crazy. And some of them, the person's like with another person who claims they were there and saw the same thing.
And when I was little, I was all about Unsolved Mysteries, Ripley's
sure,
Believe
sure.
It or Not.
I still am.
I'm still very curious. The Amazon show Lore, have you watched that?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it looks really interesting. I keep thinking I will. Originally, I thought it was very much documentary, and I'm like, I like the stories. I don't really care about the history of the story. But it sounds like they do a lot of very cool, fairly high production recreation of things interspersed. That seemed kind of cool, so I may check that out at some point.
Yeah, I like hearing these stories. I've never heard anything, even these stories from these people, and you could tell their recollection of this thing is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
This is what they totally 100% believe happened. And like I said, sometimes there's someone with them who is saying, yeah, this is what happened. But of course, if you know certain things about how memory works and even how sometimes things can work between two people,
and how psychology works,
yeah,
and how the brain works.
There's just too many ways to say, nah, that probably... I believe you think it happened. But the emotions you're having are valid, and I, you know, whatever, but that doesn't equal it actually physically happened.
Well, and this is how I sort of came to my position now of not believing in any of that shit. I don't have any evidence... necessarily. I mean, there is a lot of those kind of stories have gotten debunked, but I mean, I don't have anything to prove that X experience was bullshit. But to me, I now understand ways in which you could absolutely believe it and know it with every fiber of your being, and it could not be true. I know specific ways involving how memory works, involving what the brain does under certain traumatic situations, involving things with infrasound and other stuff like that. Too many ways.
Too many ways.
And too many reasons, and this is where it branches over from just supernatural belief into religious belief, too many reasons why a mind would want that to be true, and why a mind might need that.
That's right. That's right.
And so that all makes very rational sense to me. And I'm like, oh, this could definitely be an explanation. It's fairly straightforward. It makes sense. Or it could be the thing you're saying, which begs so many questions and has a lot of inconsistencies for me and seems weird. And so it I guess it basically becomes Occam's razor. And it's absolutely a belief thing again.
Yes,
like,
that's
I'm
right.
not... I can't prove you're full of shit.
No, that's right. And I don't, I'm not, I would never tell these people that it didn't happen because I don't know.
Which is why I tend, and there's a lot of weight to this statement for a lot of other people, but that's why I tend to refer myself as somebody I have no faith.
That's
what it comes down to.
But the way I approach it is, look, this is called anecdotal evidence. You're telling me this happened. And for you, that's enough. And maybe for certain people who know you, that's enough or whatever else. But I'm not going to tell you it didn't happen. I don't know that. But I am not going to proceed in my life like it did happen because I've got too many ways to explain it other than thinking that it actually happened.
The problem is when it's for you, you're like, I know it happened.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'm like, okay.
But that's...
It still doesn't mean it's...
Right.
It's fact. Like,
well,
and that's, I know it is for you, and you know, go with that, and I in general would too if I was in a situation like that. Like, if I end up having an actual experience that my mind is really convinced was a supernatural one, it may change my view on this.
Sure, sure.
I don't know.
Right.
But right now, from this perspective, I'm like, I know what it could be, and that seems more likely.
Well, and I've had experiences.
And memory shit is fucked up.
Yeah, it really is.
I am discovering so many things in my own past, and I've seen a lot of these now of, like, famous lines you remember from movies that never happened.
Yep.
And even I know it, and I know how it came about or whatever, I can still hear the line in my head, and that weirds me out. I can still hear James Earl Jones saying, Luke, I am your father. He never said that, people.
Yeah.
Shit like that. I really hate this one because this is all racism here. But I can absolutely hear Will Smith in Independence Day say, "Welcome to Earth."
Well,
I absolutely can hear that. And it's not true. And I've seen the clip again. It's 100% not true. It's some racist bullshit. I can still hear it in my head. Like, there's so many of those. Memory is such bullshit.
But I mean, I've had experiences myself that I've talked about on the podcast,
absolutely,
actually, that I could interpret a certain way, but I can't because I know too much. Even at the time they happened, I knew too much about how these things worked. You know, I already knew that these kinds of things happened. And so my interpretation at the time was, no, this was just some trick of the brain. And it's just a... Yeah.
And we haven't got shit to back this up. These are issues of faith. And that's why this isn't like the anti-vax movement, which I'm sorry.
Matters of opinion,
you're wrong. Like, you're straight up wrong. All the evidence you cite has been debunked or was never true, and the huge preponderance of evidence against you is just there. No, vaccinations don't cause autism. Fuck off. You are wrong. But... You saw a ghost that one time?
Yeah, that's...
I totally don't believe it, but I can't say
no,
you're wrong.
That's right. That's exactly
because
right.
Because I don't know.
Yeah.
But I very much don't believe that's what you saw.
But it seems like does it seem like we're living in a time where you're not allowed... I mean, you can't be stopped...
You're attracted to women. Sorry, that was an earlier joke.
You can't be stopped from thinking it and feeling it, but you're not really allowed to say it. You're not really allowed to tell someone. I guess I don't believe that happened. I mean, I believe you believe it, and that's fine. I can't say it didn't happen, but my default mode here is to think it didn't happen. I mean, is it rude now to...
Just go on the internet and do it.
Well, it just seems
I have this in general because I get this all the time. when friends of mine, tend to be specific friends, read something on the internet, and it's not like a ghost, but it's like, you know, that this creature does this thing, and like, isn't science amazing? I'm like, science is amazing. That's bullshit. And that's tricky. And depending on who it is and depending on the circumstance, I may just be like, yeah, that's really interesting. Change the subject. Or my other version, depending on who it is, my common one is, I'm skeptical.
Okay, but I'm talking about...
Or with certain friends, I'll be like, no, that's bullshit.
I'm talking about opinions where it seems like I remember a time, and maybe this is wrong, because, as again, we've talked about this many times, I have often thought the cultural rules were one thing when they were actually something else.
Yes.
So there was a time in my life where I would tell people my difference of opinion, thinking it was perfectly okay, and maybe it wasn't. But it seemed that there used to be a time in my life where I could have a difference of opinion with someone I knew very well or someone I didn't know very well, and it was like, that's okay. You know, it's fun to talk about differing opinions and to debate it or whatever, and we can agree to disagree, and it's no big deal. It seems like these days, unless you want to offend somebody, you probably better just keep your opinion to yourself.
I think it is very common for people to attach their identity to their...
Yeah, their identity, viewpoint. Right, their identity, right, that's right.
That I think some of that may have changed in modern era, and some of that may be because of both the access to information and to disinformation. Because that's the thing. The anti-vax one is a great example. A lot of anti-vax people can cite me a lot of things as to why they believe that. And they're from old debunked studies or really shitty quote-unquote news sites.
Yeah.
And I've had people tell me, where did you get that from? And I'll be like, NPR. They're like, consider the source.
Yeah, right.
And I want to be like, okay, what's your source?
Yeah, right.
Because you just... So I think there is some of that. I also think it varies from people to people. And I think the relationship makes it very different. Because there are definitely people who can tell me you're full of crap about something.
Sure, sure.
And I'll be fine with it. And there's other people who can tell me that. And I'll be like, and you are who? Because I'll punch you in the throat.
Well, I just don't even feel like I can say certain things. I'm not to you, say, or my family or whatever. But there, anyone outside a very particular group of people, I feel like, my opinion is no longer going to be expressed because I just don't want to deal with someone thinking I'm attacking them because my opinion is different than theirs.
It's funny you should bring this up because I am dealing with some shit recently. So there is someone I know who I am friends with.
Yeah.
Who is a woman. And I say that not because it's really going to have bearing on the story, but because it has bearing on the experience for me. Who were friends, but I'm also constantly very frustrated with.
Mm.
And we get into a lot of arguments. Although it's much more I get into arguments and she just sort of puts up with me being shitty. and it's always after these experiences, I'm like, I'm so mean. Like, why am I like that? I need to be nice or whatever. And recently there was one that was bad enough that she lost it and came after me. And this is a bad thing. And I don't try and do this, and I don't excuse this, and I don't... I try and not live my life this way, but this is what happens. Often times, points of major personal growth and awareness and perception shift about myself come when I am so mean to somebody that they finally lose it and just shout back to me and like tell me what they really think.
Mm.
And frequently then I'm like, oh my God. And it's like a big thing. Mm. And like I said, that's terrible to them and unfair to them or whatever. It doesn't change the fact that that does happen sometimes. And this has been a thing. And I've recently altered my perception on a lot of stuff. The short version is I've realized that some of that I need to be nicer to this person. It's that I need to validate them more. Like, they're entitled to say and believe what they say and believe.
Sure.
And yeah. that whether or not I agree with it and whether or not they can defend it to me or whether or not they believe it for the same. Because I've had arguments with this person over things where we agreed. And I was just arguing about why they felt that way.
Oh, okay.
And that's not my place. And what it's all coming around to recently, and this might be useful information for everyone, I think it's especially useful information if you are a somewhat assertive white male,
yeah, right.
as I am.
Yeah.
A huge part of validating others and showing your value to others and your respect for others is shutting the hell up.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is a very slow lesson I'm learning, but and it's not obvious. The obvious one that when you say it is, you know, is if you disagree with someone, you don't always have to argue with them. But there's also times where you just have more information to add or that would be interesting or whatever. You don't always need to.
No, right.
And sometimes it detracts from what's going on. And sometimes you're unaware of it, but it undercuts what the other person said or draws focus to you. And sometimes, even if you think it's really interesting, you don't need to say it. And it's such an oversimplification, but it's so broad, like, it covers so much that it's kind of a rule I'm working with nowadays more. It's like, sometimes just shut the hell up. And the truth is, sometimes in very certain circumstances, you should know when it is useful and not to say things, and it's a bit of a guessing game and so forth. But I'm at the point right now where the majority of times when I'm like, should I shut the hell up? Shutting the hell up is the right way to go. So I'm sort of doing it when in doubt, don't do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it applies not just to my friend, it applies to you, it applies to my wife, it applies to other people that I've dealt with. I think it doesn't show up as much. This is another thing, especially traveling recently, I've dealt with this. I insulate myself pretty heavily. I do not associate with a lot of people who have drastically different political or social views than I do. Mm. And whenever I am in a situation where that is different, it reminds me that that's the case, and it also reminds me that I really prefer it that way.
Mm.
And I feel kind of bad about it, but it does not encourage me to, like, push those boundaries.
Why do you feel bad about it?
Because I feel like it is... I feel like that's the start of what gives me a skewed perspective.
Oh, yeah.
So then my life is just people that kind of agree with me. So at a certain point, that, well... The
whole bubble phenomenon, you
yes,
mean?
Yes, yeah. Yes. The crazy example is me thinking the majority of this country saw things kind of the same way I did, and then Trump got elected.
Right.
Like, that was the hugest version of that.
Which didn't really contradict that when you think about the numbers, but...
No, but it's still...
It was a shocker, yeah.
And it was... The numbers were still beyond what my brain... I mean, my brain didn't articulate them, but that...
Yeah.
If my brain had been forced to write down numbers, that would not have been
agreed.
Case.
Same for me.
Although
I wouldn't have thought people saw things the way I saw them, but I would
no, but close I'd, enough. We
closer
all,
than that.
we all generally yeah. feel this way about like most of us aren't like this extreme
yeah,
thing
I'll,
or whatever.
I'll put it simply: when he was recorded talking about assaulting women,
and it didn't end things.
To this day, to me, there is no reason that shouldn't have been the end for him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
To this day, there shouldn't have been anything he could say.
No, you're right.
To paper it over, and that was just one thing.
I was going to say
just
there
one
were
thing.
About five things
I know.
Before that, and there's been about 40 since then.
But I always go back to that one.
That
because,
one was impressive.
Because to me, you know, when he said things about Mexicans, I've heard people talk about how ambiguous that sounded, and then he backpedaled on it. It's like okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this he said this.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, this is, for him to say locker room talk or anything else, there's no way you can accept that.
Yeah.
No way. And the fact of the matter is, I don't think anyone did. I think some people just said, I don't care. I'm not voting for her, but I'm not going to not vote.
Well, so there's vote a whole thing. I so don't want to rehash.
No, I'm sorry.
But yeah.
But you're right. Sorry. I didn't mean to.
But that's a big thing. And I don't like that. Well, and I talk about how old people get like this.
Yeah.
And they get very insular because they're not. And I'm like, I'm doing it to myself. I'm like, but I also feel. I don't like I don't like arguing with people, and I'm prone to doing it.
Yeah.
And I don't, so it's so much easier when it's just people I already agree with. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Guy podcast.
So we're going
to
do this, huh? Okay.
The sure. only podcast in the world that makes me wear pants. No other podcast makes me do that.
Okay.
I listen to tons of podcasts not wearing pants. I mean, not anymore. I used to listen to podcasts. But this one, I got to put on pants. Except when the episode that Trish and I were doing, I was
hoping you wouldn't bring
that
up.
No pants! It was awesome.
I had a feeling that was going to be.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 414, right?
On the 14th.
That's right. Oh, and happy, Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yes. Speaking of shutting the hell up, I have things I want to say about the recent...
Please go ahead.
Liam Neeson, whether or not he's racist thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not going to talk about it, because I feel like it would take too much time. Because we're like halfway through the episode.
Oh, I was very interested in what you had to say.
Oh, all right. So, we'll give some background for people.
Thank you.
So, recently, Liam Neeson was actually just doing a press junket for whatever the hell his movie is now. It's a revenge movie. Drug lords kill his son, and he goes and kills all of them four times or whatever. You know, it's the kind of movie Liam Neeson does nowadays. It actually, apparently, is kind of fun and cool. And if it's morally unambiguous, I can totally get behind those.
Okay.
Like, these guys are evil. We're going to kill them, whatever. So, who knows? But anyway, in the process, he was talking about revenge, and he was talking about many years ago when he was much younger, and he came home from something. He had been traveling, and a friend of his, a female friend of his, had been raped.
Yeah.
And they didn't know who it was, but they knew it was a black man.
Yeah.
And he got really angry and started doing things like going out at night, carrying weapons with him, hoping to run into black men and that, like, somebody would say something or whatever so he'd have an excuse to start a fight and potentially kill somebody.
Yeah, any black man.
Yes, yes. He did this for about a week, and then he was like, this is fucked up and horrible and racist. I need to deal with this. And right. he dealt with this and it went away. And he told this story.
Yes.
And people kind of freaked out.
And he said this was the first time he told anybody.
Yes, yes.
In this interview.
And it was a big thing. And people were like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then, but, you know, we're all like, but he said it was horrible. Like, he's not saying this is a good thing. But people are still like, I don't know. And so he felt the need to clarify. And he did. And... some people are picking at the thing. He spent a week doing this, and then he was horrified by himself.
That's right.
And sought to deal with it and process it. And he worked with his priest and everything. Apparently, one of the things is he did a lot of power walking, which sounds stupid and silly, but is a thing. And he processed, and that is great. And I feel good about this whole thing, except
okay,
there is one thing he did. That is the reason this is still a story and is the reason why people are still pissed off about this. And while I feel good for the most part about this, I absolutely understand why people are pissed off about this.
Okay. Still.
Because in his explaining it,
yeah,
he says, I'm not a racist.
Oh.
I had these thoughts. I don't now. I'm not a racist. And people are like, motherfucker, you spent a week... looking for random black men to kill. You are racist. And that's the thing. I don't even think it would be an issue if he... And people are still saying that now. And people are saying stupid shit now. Michelle Rodriguez. Oh, my God. Michelle Rodriguez. I love you. But what the fuck? She's going around telling people it's absolute bullshit. And there's no way that he's racist. Because in the movie Widows, he has an incredibly deep tongue kiss with Viola Davis playing his wife. And if you were racist, you wouldn't kiss a black person like that. And that's just one of the worst things I've ever heard said in my life. But this is the problem. I'm so tired of people saying they're not racist. And I know it's a meme now. It's a trope. It's a joke. I'm not racist, but... And then nothing goes by the way. It's not even the but, people. Stop saying I'm not racist. We're all racist. Like, it. Unfortunately, it is socialized in their shit, and we have to acknowledge it. If we pretend, no, I don't have a racist thought in me, that's not a thing. If you do that, you are denying actual reflexes and things that have been codified in your head, at least subconsciously. What you have to do is acknowledge those things and acknowledge that they are your problem and they are not other people's problem, and you need to work to not let it impact other people.
Well, and right, and maybe more specific to this case and to any case like it, you're never really done.
Yes. And that's the thing.
That's the problem, I think, with saying I'm not racist is, oh, I had this racist problem once, then I got over it, now I'm not racist. It doesn't really work like that.
And you don't even have to say, so I had this, so clearly I'm a racist, even though if it was years ago. You didn't even have to say that.
No,
have to say, I had this thing, and it was really rough, and I got through it, and I now see how horrible that was, and it's terrible, and I'm so sorry, and I'm so glad nothing actually happened from that, and it's terrible, but it just goes to show we can all be triggered by that stuff.
Whatever. That's right.
And nowhere in that do you say, I'm racist. You also don't say,
I'm not racist. That's
Stop
right.
saying I'm not racist, people. Because nobody has ever said that was actually not racist. Again, because I don't actually believe there are people who aren't racist, but...
But do you think, though... I mean, words are tricky, okay? I know there are people, and maybe Liam Neeson is one of these people, who thinks that racist is a very narrowly defined thing.
Yeah.
It means if you're racist... If you hate at least one other race.
Yeah.
And that's what it means.
Yeah.
And if you don't hate any other races, then by that definition of racist, you're not racist. And maybe that's just what he meant. Now, when you and I talk about racism, we're not talking about a specific definition like I hate other races. What we're talking about is a tendency to see people in a race other than your own, as in some way inferior to you.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. And
not necessarily consciously.
That's right. Not necessarily consciously. Right.
Often built into really weird institutionalized shit.
For example, let's use Liam Neeson for an example. I'll bet if he were here and I asked him back then when you were feeling this way, and any black person would do, as long as he started it or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you have any black friends? Well, sure. I had black friends. Would you have been outraged if you heard about a black stranger, even while this was happening, a black stranger who was doing absolutely nothing, and then some KKK people went up and beat him up, would you have been outraged by that? Oh, yeah, I would have been totally outraged by that. In other words, even back then, I'll bet we could prove that he was not racist in the way he's narrowly defining racist,
yeah.
But he was racist in the way that you and I have defined it, which is there's some way, probably unconscious, where you think of someone of another race is inferior to you, and you only realize it in those moments, like he experienced, where this woman was raped. She was raped by a black person, and so suddenly any black person would
do it. And somehow that matters.
Yeah.
Like, sure. How is it possible that... Why did it matter that the rapist was black?
Well, that's right. But also,
I absolutely understand your friend. Oh, believe me, I understand. Your friend was raped, and you want to get revenge on that person.
Oh, yeah, I understand that too.
But
why?
The fact that it was that what you focused on was that they were black, and so therefore it just translated to anybody.
Yeah, any black person would do. Right.
Yeah. Why not just any man? Because it was a man, or, any who knows what? I mean, like, that's.
Well, now, some researchers would say that there's another element of that where sometimes with some people, I don't know if it's a cultural thing or if it's a sociological thing even, or I shouldn't say sociological. I don't know if it's a cultural manifestation or if it's something that you find universally, which is sometimes a person wants to have revenge and not knowing who the actual person is. They want to go after someone who they think is part of that group.
Yeah.
So if, for example, if she'd said, well, I don't know who he is. I didn't see his face, but I mean, he had a Hell's Angels jacket on.
Yeah.
Then he's walking around with weapons, hoping for any Hell's Angel to, give him a hard time.
Ireland. I didn't see him, but he was
saying?
A Protestant.
Not, yeah. but this was clearly a race oriented thing.
Well, this is the particular one.
Yeah. And he knows that and he's saying that, but I, you know,
you're so sick of it. I'm not racist.
I think that you know, again, words are tricky. People have different definitions of things. But I don't think it's a helpful definition to call racism just when you hate. No. Because there are so many other ways, like as in his situation proved, that you can experience racism. And we need to acknowledge those things. And when we do, we'll realize that racism isn't anything you ever get over.
No.
It's something you constantly have to stop yourself and go, hey, wait, am I responding to this situation?
Trish and I catch it all the time together. And in fact, she said something the other day about, like, I don't know. We got into the thing of, like, if I've seen you at my your worst or whatever. And Trish is like, no, you got me. You've seen all my racism. And it's a real thing because we will have this talk and be like, I had X reaction to Y. And I realize now I think it's because this person was Hispanic. Thank goodness it never seemed, it never translates into any action we did.
Sure, sure.
That we are aware of.
Right, right, right.
But there are so many times where it's like, I went through this process and I now realize it was because of race. And that's shitty. And I think I talked about the one where somebody was driving the van and pulled up to my neighbor and I was just kind of watching out. And it turned out to be nothing. It was actually the neighbor from around the corner and was returning something to my friend. And it was only later that I was like, I only did that because that dude was black.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I would not have done that with a white guy.
You know, people really underestimate how, I mean.
And I just want to specify in case anybody puts me on the news or anything. And that was wrong. And I should feel bad about that and need to try and adjust my behavior for that.
Right.
But in order to do that, I have to acknowledge that. I have to not convince myself, no, I would have done that with anybody who went back and forth the street, which actually in the moment I did try to convince myself that's what it was because he had gone down the street and then he had come back down the street and I didn't recognize him. So I'm like, what is happening? Is somebody casing that? But then later I'm like, I am fairly confident if it had been a white person, I might have been in, like, oh, I wonder what they're doing. But I just would have gone inside.
Sure, sure, sure. Well, but I think we also have to acknowledge one of the reasons why we're never done figuring this out is because the media messages are constant.
Also, we still live in a super racist society, people.
No. Yeah, there's just all kinds of things.
We're at the point now.
Constantly cueing you to think this way.
Yes, gentrification. The property system is ridiculous. Gentrification's huge. The concept of people of color moving into areas decreasing property value isn't
true. Is that a thing people still say?
No, this is the thing. It's true because people believe it true because realtors act on that assumption and that genuinely changes things.
That's still a thing?
Yes, and there's a thing called redlining that's a part of financing homes and things that is fucked up.
Yeah, that I knew about.
Yeah, no, but no.
I thought the thing about neighborhoods was done.
And that's the thing. It's not real, except that people in the market believe it to be real, and that has an impact on the market.
But why do people still believe it to be real? I mean, that was something you heard on
on
All in the Family with and Archie Bunker would say stuff like that.
And these people are not racist. These people say, yes, it's a shame that shitty racist white people feel that way, but they do, and that's just the reality we have here. And if you're in a position where you're actually, where like you're a realtor or something, it impacts it, and you get the segregated neighborhoods, not because, oh, because people like to stay with their own kind. No, because you fucking set it up.
That makes me think. There are a lot of people who, okay, the pay, you know, the 71% pay gap that you've probably heard
about.
Yes. Okay, that's a statistic that applies specifically to a census data, I believe it is, and it's specifically to full-time, year-round work.
Yes.
Okay. And what you'll read in places when you'll try to look up this statistic to see what it really means is people will say, if you change the statistic to include seasonal, it's a little different, and if you, whatever.
Yes.
But if you're just looking at full-time, all year-round work, there's this 71% pay gap from the last census or something like that. Here's the thing about that. Nobody disputes that statistic. Nobody.
Yeah.
What the people will say, though, who want to explain it away is, well, when you understand why it's that way, you realize it's not really an issue of inequality. And then they'll go through a bunch of hoops or whatever, but here's the bottom line. And sometimes they'll even sum it right up for you. They won't even go through all the hoops. They'll say, women just happen to pick different jobs.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
What? You're saying the XX chromosome makes people want lower paying jobs. Yep. Is that what you're really saying? And it is. It is what they're saying. Like, they can't understand how maybe in their own life, if they were looking at what they wanted to do, and let's say engineering was one of those things. But, you know, for them, the engineering path was going to be twice as hard as it was for the ordinary person. And they had other options besides that, that maybe they wouldn't pick engineering because, why, you know, they want to have a family, they want to do all this stuff. You know, and of course they say, well, then that person just didn't want to be an engineer bad enough. No. You can't say that. You have no idea if you were in the same situation what you would choose. So you can't project your own experience onto them. You had the privilege of having an easier time becoming an engineer than this person had. So they're not just blithe, you know, just sort of glibly picking a lower paying job. They have to weigh pros and cons that you don't have to weigh. And you can't say, you can't judge how they weigh those and say, well, they just didn't want that job as bad as a man did. No.
that's the same not how, it is. What is it, 70% of the wealth in this country is inherited, and that by and large is white people, and that's why white people keep being the rich ones over and over again. And then you will find somebody who is a poor white person and say, no, see, I got nothing, so it's not a thing. Have you seen Pearl?
No, I haven't. I've heard a lot about
Holy
it.
Holy shit.
I've heard a lot it about
it.
It's
a thing of beauty. I caught myself. That's what I should have shown you. I caught myself wanting to pick at it. And be like, yeah, it's good, but it's got this. Because that's just in my nature at this point, and I don't like that. I like the idea of just liking something. And the truth is, it's just really good. It's well animated, very smart, not subtle, but still very creative and straightforward and undeniably true. Little piece of animation film. And you immediately made me think of that.
What was the other thing you were going to talk
about? Oh, there are a couple of things. Yeah, a couple other things that Trish and I have consumed. One is we watched the entire first season now of A Discovery of Witches.
I don't know if I've ever heard of that.
It's, I think it was made maybe a couple years ago, but it's just now hit the U.S. and it's only available through Sundance, so I assumed we'd never see it. But it, also, you can watch it on Shudder, the horror service, and I subscribe to that, and so we got to see it. It is based off of a trilogy, the All Souls trilogy, by I want to say Deborah Harkness. It's bad.
Oh, okay.
But I might still recommend it.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing. The All Souls trilogy is very clearly paranormal romance.
Oh.
This is a world in which creatures exist, creatures being the operative term, and there are three kinds specifically. There are witches, there are demons, and there are vampires. And they all have different agendas, and they have this rough political peacekeeping force and things like this. And this involves a woman who is a witch, but who decided long ago that she sort of doesn't want anything to do with that. And so she just lives as a normal person. And through weird, mysterious circumstances, she ends up coming into contact with a long-lost manuscript that may hold a lot of secrets to the origins of creatures, and so now everybody wants it and they want to get her for it and things like that. And in the process she meets this vampire and they are drawn to each other. And it's,
of course they are,
the number of times I had to compare it to Twilight in certain ways was ridiculous. But it looks really good. Like visually it's very impressive, it's very well made, very well performed, a lot of great actors in it. Alex Kingston, who was River Song from Doctor Who, is in this, in a part that I kind of think is wasted for her, but it's good. But it's just so earnest and so trope-filled and so Deus Ex Machina is just a way of life in this
show.
Sure,
right.
There's literally a house that's kind of magic, and so like it had like it likes people and doesn't like people. It also will just provide you with exposition when you need it. And I mean, sometimes that's the thing fell out of the chimney. It happens to be the thing we needed. Sometimes the house just spontaneously shows everybody in the room a recreation of something that happened like before they were born and shit. So you can see exactly what you needed to know just cause.
Don't all magic stories have the problem? I mean, that's why I don't like magic stories, is because you can do that.
And I was sitting there and I had to pause it at one point and I was like, I told Trish, I was like, I was about to say, I am really tired of this different types of supernatural being as racism concept.
Yeah.
And I said, I was about to tell you that, and then I remembered that's pretty much the premise behind Odd Wings. So I probably should keep my mouth shut.
Oh, well. I guess, in a way.
So it gets weird. But no, it was bad, but it was a joy to watch. And if it manages a second season, I will watch it. It's fun. It's compelling. I want to know what happens next. But yeah, we spent the whole time making fun of it also. And
being okay.
Like, didn't you just say, what the hell? Yeah, no, I'm sure. And I mean, and it right up out of the gate of the whole, oh, you're a vampire. Oh, you're how old? Yeah, this is an inappropriate relationship. She's like 30. Right. And you're how many centuries?
He's like real, like really 30. Huh?
But like, they're in love. They have sworn each other to eternity after like 6 days of knowing each other. Like, that's how you do it.
Yeah, that happens.
Weirdly silly sex scenes that I feel like they're trying to hedge their bets because there's some of that issue of, you know, if he lets loose, he might kill her kind of thing.
Right.
But it resulted in some weird scenes that I don't fully understand. But it's like very well made and well performed and well, like all of that. The only people at fault are the writers and potentially just the author originally. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's a hot mess, but it was kind of fun. But the other thing, just last night, watched something I've been meaning to watch for a while.
Yeah.
And I finally remembered it and it was date night and there were no movies in the theater that were good. I was like, we're going to watch it. So we watched My Dinner with Hervé.
Oh yeah. I haven't seen that.
On HBO. It is, from what I can tell now, it is a fictitious account that is based in some real things that happened of a reporter doing an interview with Hervé Villachez that turns into a crazy night with Hervé Villachez that happens days before he ends up committing suicide.
Oh.
In the movie, it's a reporter from a British magazine that was just going to do sort of a fluff piece on him, and then it turns into something bigger. In reality, the guy who made the movie used to be a journalist, and he did some interviews with Hervé Villachez shortly before he killed himself, and so this came out of that. And two interesting things about this. One, Hervé Villachez is being played by Peter Dinklage.
Okay.
Which immediately piqued my curiosity because I love Peter Dinklage
in
pretty much everything he does. And two, the filmmaker who wrote it and directed everything and Peter Dinklage have been working on this script for years to do this just right. I don't know how accurate it is. Sort of the nature of it is how accurate is it at portraying what Hervé Villachez thought about himself, and how accurate is what Hervé Villachez thought about himself with reality is a major question.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
It was interesting. It was very entertaining. People involved did great performances. It feels like something they probably really liked making. It's hard to explain why. It's not like they were goofy or it felt ad-libbed or anything, but it just feels like it was it was parts they would enjoy. It's got, because it's set in 93, and of course it flashbacks as far back as the 40s, because it sort of deals with his whole life. It's got a lot of celebrities that are either dead or way too old to play that part anymore, so they've cast other people. They do some remarkable casting choices. Sometimes in places that I don't recognize the person, but like they had Gore Vidal, and they had a dude, I'm like, that looks like Gore Vidal. I had to look it up. I'm like, that's not, but he looks like Gore Vidal, and he sounds like Gore Vidal. And then other ones like Andy Garcia as Ricardo Montalban, which is a super weird choice, because Andy Garcia does a shitty Ricardo Montalban impression.
Yeah.
But he absolutely performs the character in a way that I find believable to what Ricardo Montalban might have been like in that era at that time. And just stuff like that is very interesting. Learned a lot of things like, Urban Village is just French.
Okay. Like, that makes sense.
Not to me, because I definitely thought he wasn't white.
Oh.
And so I thought he was like from some French colonial kind of, and apparently originally people thought he was Filipino. But no, he was born in, it might have been Paris, but he was born in France. I mean, he's just French.
Oh.
I think his mom originally was English and his dad was French, but yeah, he was a French citizen and all this.
Okay.
He was also a very successful painter. That was his first career.
Didn't know that.
And he was like one of the first, I think he was the first of his generation to have things in the Museum of Paris, I think.
Oh.
He was a surrealist painter and quite successful.
Huh. I did not know that.
No, me neither. All sorts of stuff like this. But it's also just a very interesting story because he's sort of telling his story, but then you're like, but that doesn't jibe with what the public thought at the time, and then there's like, well, they're lying, and eventually it goes to like them breaking into somebody's house that was there at the time to like set the record straight, and the answer somewhere in between, and it's very interesting. The guy who plays the reporter is Jamie Dornan, who I know best as the wolf/sheriff in the first season of Once Upon a Time, but most people know him best as the guy who played Christian Grey in the
50 Shades. Yes. Yeah.
Which I don't give a fuck about, but I think I like him. I've seen him in a few things now, and I think he's a good actor, and he did pretty well in this.
Sure.
Yeah, I found Trish, quote, did not think much of it. I don't think she hated it. She didn't fall asleep or anything like that, but I don't think it did much for her. I really found it interesting. It's just sitting on HBO, so I think I recommend it. Anyway, quick, before William has to go on his Valentine's date. Oh, yeah, I still got sitting over here from last time. All right. Are you going someplace fun, or are you just staying in for Valentine's?
Well, I think, you know, with weather as being as it is, I think we're going to have a plan B.
The day after Valentine's is mine and Trish's engagement anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going out to a restaurant that we like. The next night is my monthly dinner with my friend Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my turn to pick. I decided I'm going to take him to the exact same restaurant. And for some reason, that just tickles me. But I'm going to go on a date with my wife and a date with my friend. And I'm thinking of trying to play it off to the staff, like, don't tell my wife.
I think that'd be funny. People listening, if they're listening on Thursday, or if they're listening on Valentine's Day, 2 days from now, I turn 50.
Holy shit.
Yep.
You are old motherfucker.
I'm not going to go home that Saturday either. We'll be getting together. My brother's birthday is on Valentine's Day, and so we usually celebrate them together, as I've often said.
I've turned 42 since you last saw me.
Yeah, you have.
This is my year to be the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
That's right. So 50. We'll be getting together much later, but my wife has taken Valentine's Day off, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're going to try to do something for my 50th birthday in general. Not necessarily a big going somewhere kind of thing, but just something that we don't usually get to do.
At that point, you may find that you like to kick and stretch and kick again.
What?
Molly Shannon on Saturday Night Live had this character, recurring character, and her whole thing was that she was 50 and she was really proud of it.
Oh.
I'm 50 years old. And the thing she'd do is just like, I like to kick, and she'd kick real high and stretch, and she'd do this like lunge thing and kick again. I'm 50. And she was very much into just like, she's proud of it, and people say it's too old, but she can still do stuff. And so that was her whole thing. So you go around saying, I'm 50. 50 years old.
All right, well, yes, I will be 50 in two days.
50 years old.
Ah, What is the worst sin a TV show can make? Mark McKibben wants to know.
Genocide. If a TV show killed an entire race of people, I feel like that would be the worst.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to get worse than that.
Yeah, try and beat that is what I'm saying.
I can't.
I don't know how a TV show... I should say, I find it extremely unlikely a TV show would do that. But it is the worst.
That would have to be the worst thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be like white collar crime.
Seems something. Like such an obvious answer. I'm kind of surprised they asked the question, really. Not that
they're just going to get a whole bunch of questions. What's the greatest sin blank can do? Genocide. Always genocide. That's the worst.
The thing I hate for TV shows to do, aside from genocide, most.
Aside from genocide. That could be the title of this episode.
Is in any way, because there's lots of ways to do this, in any way insult the intelligence of the viewer. Have a stupid script. Have a, you know, not fill in some kind of huge plot hole that you have to know is a plot hole. Just, I mean, I realize lots of TV shows do this, and they don't want to do it. There's budgets, there's reasons why the CW shows, for example, are the quality they are, that don't have anything to do with what these people want to do with their lives. They probably want to write something better. They probably want to do something better, but there's all kinds of constraints that cause the quality to be what it is. But there's a lot of TV out there that it's like they don't even really try. And I hate that. And of course, I don't watch those shows, but you know, it always makes me feel kind of upset sometimes, because like money is being spent on this thing, right? Advertisers are being attracted. People's time is being taken. You know, you could have just said, you know what, let's not do this TV show and give this money to charity or something.
There you go.
Something that prevents genocide, you know, because
that's the worst.
But that's what I hate when I'm watching it. A movie or TV show, these people think I'm so stupid that I'm going to be okay with what they just did on, you know, with this script or this story or this character.
See, I find this interesting. I don't find your answer interesting.
I know.
I should rephrase. I don't find your answer surprising. Like, that is what I would thought you would say. And I also hate that.
Yeah.
But no, I find this question interesting because there are a lot of different versions of this question.
What do you mean?
I mean, you chose to answer this question as, what is the thing you hate most that a TV show might do?
That's going to offend me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that will cause you to dislike a show.
Sure.
And not necessarily offend, because I think a show offending me is a specific sin a show can do. But one can also read this as, what is the worst thing a show can do in terms of causing it to not be successful?
Oh, well.
Because, as we've established before...
Aside from being crappy?
TV and movies... Well, but see, that's too general.
Yeah, aside from that.
Things have to be crappy in certain ways. And, I mean, some shows can be crappy in almost every way.
Well, they can publicize it wrong. They can move the time it's on a lot.
I think the biggest sin in that case, ultimately, is to be boring.
Ah, sure.
Because people do watch stuff that they admit is terrible.
But it's interesting. Yeah, it interests
them
somehow.
And sometimes they hate watch it. I've done that with things.
Sure.
I watch it because I love to watch this terrible. Other people, and this comes up so much. Yeah, I know it's bad, but I'm just really, I find it compelling, or I really like that. Well, and I've talked before. Some of my favorite shows are shitty in most ways, but in one or two aspects, I really like it, and therefore...
It resonates with you somehow.
It's good.
There, yeah.
But, in theory, if you find it boring...
What is there?
Then you don't need to watch it.
That's right.
And I think that's close to my answer, weirdly. There are exceptions. I've talked about quite a few shows that if it offends me too often, then I'm out. Mm. Or if it offends me to a greater volume than I feel it enriches me, whether that be entertaining or interesting or compelling or whatever, then I'm out.
Yeah.
But gun to my head, the thing by which I measure almost every show, if we're talking fiction and narrative stuff.
Sure, right.
Do I care what happens?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And that, because that is frequently when I bail on a show. Sometimes it's too horrible or it's too whatever.
Sure, sure.
But most of the time it's, huh, I wonder what'll happen next week. Huh, I don't care what happens next week.
Yeah, so why?
I often go to the most extreme. I'm like, what if the plot ended up that the next episode the entire town was nuked or whatever and everybody died?
Would I care? Nope, wouldn't care. Yeah.
And that's often the case.
Yeah.
That does it. Insulting intelligence, that's the problem. So many of these things chain together.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
true.
Insulting intelligence to me, because one of the ways you can make me not give a shit is if I don't believe the characters are real.
Yeah, yeah.
And, as I've discussed before, if I don't believe the characters are sympathetic. And so these are things. And there are times, I forget what show, there was recently a show where I was like, so-and-so is not a character. So-and-so is where they put plot.
Yep, yep.
They need this to happen, so this week that person feels like this about it.
Sure.
Next week I needed this to happen. So, but like I couldn't tell you what their actual character is. It's just whatever happens to move the plot along that week.
Yep, yep.
And there are some shows where that's almost every character.
Yep.
I
hate when they have a character like that. That's so lazy and terrible.
Yeah.
And it's almost always a woman too, so.
Yep. And the sneaky way of doing it is you frequently dovetail that with your comedy relief.
Yep.
And then, but the problem is, in its early stages, it looks very similar. There was a character on Killjoys named Pri, and he was just the bartender at the local place they hung out. And he was very much sort of comic relief and the funny gay character.
Mm.
Like, he was very camp, and that was a thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he was incredibly charming, and, like, you couldn't not like him. But he was clearly just sort of a useless becker. But, and, you know, which came first, the popularity or the backstory? But eventually, he develops into a very serious character, not only with a very elaborate and interesting past, but a very complex and dynamic personality and set of values. Like, you find out he has an amazing history and the things that he has left behind and the things he cares about and stuff that sort of aren't there was amazing and becomes my favorite character in the show, basically.
Huh.
And the problem is, in the early stages, it looks the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's often sort of the character actor role.
But and like you said, sometimes they... Oh, this character's really
Let's
a
do
thing.
Some
Let's
shit
do
with
something.
This. Yeah. And it can be very hard to tell. And I.
Well, and that again,
and
that's
my patience
the
for.
TV.
The show has a shitty first season, but once you get through that, they really get into. I'm like.
Yeah, yeah.
How long is that season?
But
we're all dying.
Yeah, it's I mean. it's the way TV works. I mean, that's one of the things that can happen. You can have what the pilot thought was a throwaway character become a really important character later,
yeah.
Which is a good thing about TV in a way, but it's also a very frustrating thing about it when you're first getting to watch
the
show.
And it becomes marketing shit.
Yeah.
Atlanta. Right. Have you watched Atlanta? Why fucking Atlanta, dude?
It's got to be available somewhere. I mean,
Hulu, I think. Are you got Hulu?
No.
That's
no.
The one. Okay. There is a bunch of stuff in the pilot for Atlanta that never comes back or plays out again later. And I sort of even didn't notice. It's not real big, but there were just a lot of, like, oh, what's this hook about? And, oh, this character, whatever. And they never come back. And it turns out that's because it was an absolute snow job for the studio.
Yeah.
They put in all this shit that they thought studio execs would like into the pilot.
Yeah.
But that they didn't ever want anything to do with.
I think a lot of people do that with pilots.
And it's to the point that often the pilot is a completely different show than the rest of
it. Yeah, it's just a way to get the foot in the door and then you do whatever you want.
But this is the problem, is what makes a successful show and what makes a show I like are... The Venn diagram has some overlap, but by no means entirely. And so I have to be very careful nowadays. And even with stuff where everybody's like, this show's really awesome. I'm like, all right, I'll take a look. But if it's not doing it for me, right, I'm not spending my time on
sure,
it.
Sure, sure, yep, that's right.
And we are over time, and this is our second episode, so it's really late. So if you'd like to write into the magicaltalkinghat.com or at gmail.com. No, go to magicaltalkinghat.com and tell us how racist you are. Oh, crap. What are we calling this episode? I forgot. I already lost it.
Did you have an idea?
I did. I did.
I didn't know.
It was a good line. Oh, it's always genocide.
Okay. So, yes.
No, sorry. Aside from genocide.
Aside
from genocide. Okay. The previous episode is Dagon Bang. I'm still not sure how to spell that, but I'll figure it out. Go to the blog, Magic Talking Hat, and tell us what you think the worst sin is after genocide. You know, whatever. Also, write into the hat. We need you to do that. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Otherwise, how will we fill the last 10 minutes of each episode? And we love you, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. But for you, it'll just be 1 week, so that's nice. Bye.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.